On today's show, we'll take a look at grace and merit. Stay right where you are. We begin now. Happy Monday. Welcome to the program. Come on in. Make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimek. Great to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio for another week of the program. In fact, this is the final week before we go into our Advent retreat that's going to be kicking off 1 week from today here on the show. We will start by looking at the daily mass readings for Advent. I'll read some meditations designed specifically to get you prepared to welcome Christ more deeply into your heart this Christmas. And in addition, we will pray the St. Andrew Novena. We'll tell you more about that later on this week. That's what's going to be happening for the next several weeks. Again, that starts Monday. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to register. All you have to do is show up next Monday. Kind of funny, considering I won't be here. I'll be in Louisiana next week, but I will pre-record all the shows. The following week, I'll be headed to New Mexico. So I've got some traveling coming up, but I'll make sure I record the programs so that we can stay connected. And as always, if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, and I'll do my best to get back to you, even when I'm on the road. On today's program, we're going to take a look at the concept of grace and merit. That'll be later on in the show. Before that, we'll read the mass readings from Monday of the 33rd week in ordinary time, the final week of the church year, the liturgical year. Beginning next Sunday, we move into the Advent season. It's a very special time, a time of preparation. And as you've heard me say so many times, we often focus on preparing for Christmas at the expense of preparing for Christ. So I really hope that this year you're going to join me for this Advent retreat on the program, because we will specifically use the time to prepare to welcome Jesus on Christmas into our lives. You know, even though he was born 2,000 years ago, the point of Advent is to make that preparation, make that clean, do some of the cleaning, if you will, so you'll be better able to welcome the Lord more deeply into your life. That is something we always want to focus on. So I hope you'll be able to join me for that. I'm excited about that. I always like the Advent retreat. It's a no question. It is a challenging time of year because we get pulled in a lot of different directions, and it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that we are supposed to be preparing to become closer to Christ. That's what we're supposed to do during the Advent season. So I figure, well, let's do the Advent retreat here. You don't even have to go anywhere. You can do it right from your own home or wherever you listen to the program. And I'm happy to be joining you for that mission. It's something that I need to do. I need to prepare. I'm trying to become closer to Christ, so why not do it together? We'll keep each other company. Again, that starts a week from today. Quick reminder, I will be on the Sunrise Morning Show for my weekly segment this Wednesday, 6:35 a.m. We call the segment Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I do that every Wednesday morning on the Eternal Word Television Network, EWTN. Actually, we do it on the radio, though. Sunrise Morning Show, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time every Wednesday, and I hope you'll be able to join me for that. And as I said a few minutes ago, if you're in either the New Orleans area or the Lafayette area, I'll be heading to Louisiana, giving a series of talks down there. Next week, beginning on November the 30th, I'll be in Metairie, followed by the rest of the week in Carencro. So if you're in the area, please stop on by and say hi. I would love to hear from you. You can find out more information about this by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. How about if we pray now? Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the many blessings you've given to us. We ask you to help us as we walk along the road, which will one day lead to eternal life in heaven with you. We're very grateful for all that you continue to do in our lives each day. Father, help us to boldly proclaim our faith, even when it may get difficult. Help us to know you better. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we're able to know you better, that we can love you better, and that we can share you with others. Father, we ask that you help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling financially, those who are dealing with any kind of doubt or despair. those who may be facing religious persecution. We ask you to help anyone who is struggling with any of these things, as well as anyone facing weather-related issues. Father, I ask you to take over this program, to speak through me this day, and to open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. In addition, we present to you our own personal intentions, especially those things that really distract us. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We turn now to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you again for tuning into the show. Thanks for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm blessed to be able to do this program on Blog Talk Radio. We do it every Monday through Friday evening, 30 minutes each night, and I'm so glad that you're with me on the show. I'm so glad that you're going to be participating in the Christmas or the Advent retreat, and I look forward next year to be joining you again. As far as I'm concerned, good Lord willing, I'm going to be here for as long as I can do this show. I am so blessed to be able to do it. I am not kidding. And I thank you for all of your support, your prayer support, your financial support. Without you, this program wouldn't be possible. So my goal is to keep it going as long as I can. Hopefully, I'll be here once again next year. And God willing, we'll be doing a Lenten retreat as well as the Advent retreat. And I plan to do total consecration next year once again. So as long as the Lord keeps me around and lets me do the program, I plan to be here. And I thank you so much for being such a big part of the program. If it wasn't for you, there would be no program. So thanks for hanging out with me. I really appreciate it. If you ever need me, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. If you have any questions at all about anything that we discuss, I do want to let you know that this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, we are going to take a break from the show. I'm going to be spending it with family, so we're going to take a day off. I take very few days off. Thanksgiving is one of those days. It's a family day. Eileen and I have some people coming over, so we're not going to be doing a show, and I hope you understand that. We'll be back on the Friday after Thanksgiving. I'll talk more about Thanksgiving on Wednesday, because even though it's not a religious holiday, it's so important to those of us who are Christians. It's so important for us to give thanks. It really is. So, I have to say I'm doubly blessed this year because Thanksgiving Day is my wedding anniversary. Do you believe that? Thanksgiving Day. 21 years Eileen and I have been married, so I'm very, very grateful for the gift of Eileen in my life, for our children. Oh, man, God has been good to me, I'll tell you. So I really have something even extra to be thankful for this year. But I'm also thankful for you, for the fact that you listen to the show. But I think I just think it's necessary to take a break on Thursday, at least for me, and I'll be back on Friday. Beverage du jour today, courtesy of my friends Neil and Cindy from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Community Coffee. Today we're going with Southern Bread Pudding flavored. Boy, that is really, really good. Thank you again, Neil and Cindy, for that wonderful gift of the coffee. And let's take a look at these Mass readings now from Monday of the 34th. I think I said 33rd week. It's the 34th week in Ordinary Time. This is the final week of the liturgical year. Now, this first reading today, it's a good one, but it is a doozy. So, got lots of big names. It's a lengthy reading, so let's get right to it. It is from the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 1, the beginning of the book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and laid siege to Jerusalem. The Lord handed over to him Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and some of the vessels of the temple of God. He carried them off to the land of Shinar, and placed the vessels in the temple treasury of his god. The king told Ashpenaz, his chief chamberlain, to bring in some of the children of Israel, of royal blood, and of the nobility, young men without any defect, handsome, intelligent, and wise, quick to learn and prudent in judgment, such as could take their place in the king's palace. They were to be taught the language and literature of the Chaldeans. After 3 years' training, they were to enter the king's service. The king allotted them a daily portion of food and wine from the royal table. Among these were men of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But Daniel was resolved not to defile himself with the king's food or wine. So he begged the chief chamberlain to spare him this defilement. Though God had given Daniel the favor and sympathy of the chief chamberlain, he nonetheless said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king. It is he who allotted your food and drink. If he sees that you look wretched by comparison with the other young men of your age, you will endanger my life with the king." Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief chamberlain had put in charge of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then see how we look in comparison with the other young men who eat from the royal table, and treat your servants according to what you see." He acceded to this request and tested them for 10 days. After 10 days, they looked healthier and better fed than any of the young men who ate from the royal table. So the steward continued to take away the food and wine they were to receive, and gave them vegetables. To these 4 young men God gave knowledge and proficiency in all literature and science, and to Daniel the understanding of all visions and dreams. At the end of the time the king had specified for their preparation, the chief chamberlain brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. When the king had spoken with all of them, none was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they entered the king's service. In any question of wisdom or prudence which the king put to them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his kingdom. What we see here is an example, and we're going to see more of this in the days to come, an example of some young men who were not willing to compromise their religious beliefs. And as we near the end of the church year, the church in her wisdom wants us to, and if you remember, we had several readings from the first and second book of Maccabees in the past few days. All of these readings remind us of the importance of standing up for our religious beliefs, standing up for the Lord, even when we're pressured to do something else. And this is a tough thing for many of us to do, but we live in a world where it's increasingly important to do so, because we're going to increasingly come under pressure to sell out and deny our religious beliefs, because that's the pressure that we receive from the world. So we've got to be really careful about that. And we have to ask for the grace to be able to do to be able to do that, to be able to be strong enough in our beliefs, so that we can stand up when we are challenged. And what's the secret? What's the secret to doing that? Well, yes, we have to ask for the help, but also it's incredibly important for us to get to know the Lord on a personal level. We've got to do what we can to make sure that we know Him personally. Because the more we know Him, the more we know the Lord, the more we will be able, without question, to stand up when challenged and refuse to compromise our beliefs. Yesterday we celebrated the solemnity of Christ the King, which is a big day. This is the day where we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our King. We serve Him and we serve Him alone. But honestly, how many times do we fail to do that? Unfortunately, it happens more often than we would like to admit. I fail more often than we would like to admit, but it's something that we can work on. So this Advent, that's a perfect thing for us all to work on, making sure that Jesus really is the King of our lives and that he does come first. The responsorial psalm comes from Daniel chapter 3, glory and praise forever. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages. Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious forever. These words, very, very popular, this is a very popular prayer from the book of Daniel, were spoken while the four men were in the furnace. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were being incinerated. But I don't want to give the story away if you're not familiar with it. You're going to hear more about this in the days to come. They didn't compromise. They didn't back down when pressured to give up their religious beliefs. The Gospel, Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury, and he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood. Obviously, you can look at this gospel passage and apply it to monetary donations. That's a good meaning, that's a good interpretation of this gospel. And it's a reminder to us that we're called to give from our heart, not just from our surplus. But let's tie that reading in today, that gospel in, with the first reading and this idea of standing up for the Lord when challenged. If we practice our faith the way we should, from our heart, not just going through the motions, and imitating this widow giving from her heart, if we practice and live our faith this way, it's not going to be an issue when we're challenged. We are not going to back down. We are not going to keep our faith in church. We're going to live our faith 24/7, no matter where we are. That's the way we're called to serve the Lord. That's how we know if he truly is the king of our lives, if we are willing to serve him all the time and not just when it's convenient. If we're willing to do that, and we do that, then we know we are doing what we're supposed to do. That's how we can tell. And again, if you're struggling with that, let's work on it during the Advent season. Let's work on that so that we can live out our faith the way we are called to do it. Any questions, please email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's take a look now at, since it is Monday, let's open up our catechism. But actually, I'm using the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and it works better for the purposes of this show. It's in a question and answer format. I want to talk about the idea of grace and merit. But first, let's talk about justification. We hear these terms a lot: grace, merit, justification. What do they mean? What is justification? And in case you have the compendium at home, this is question 422. Justification is the most excellent work of God's love. It is the merciful and freely given act of God which takes away our sins and makes us just and holy in our whole being. It is brought about by means of the grace of the Holy Spirit, which has been merited for us by the passion of Christ, and is given to us in baptism. Justification is the beginning of the free response of man, that is, faith in Christ and of cooperation with the grace of the Holy Spirit. Note that specification of free response. Just because I have grace isn't enough to get me to heaven. I can't get there without that grace. But I need to do something. I need to freely respond to that grace and act in a way that merits eternal life in heaven. So with that being said, let's talk a little bit about grace. What is the grace that justifies? That grace is the gratuitous gift that God gives us to make us participants in his Trinitarian life and able to act by his love. It is called habitual, sanctifying, or deifying grace because it sanctifies and divinizes us. It is supernatural because it depends entirely on God's gratuitous initiative and surpasses the abilities of the intellect and powers of human beings. It therefore escapes our experience. Sanctifying grace is what makes us holy and what allows us to participate in the life of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity. And we're able, by this sanctifying grace, to act by his love. It's the grace that allows us to one day be able to get to heaven. Now let's take a look at what other kind of grace are there. Besides habitual grace, there are actual graces, which are gifts for specific circumstances. Sacramental graces, gifts proper to each sacrament. Special graces or charisms, gifts that are intended for the common good of the church, among which are the graces of state that accompany the exercise of ecclesial ministries and the responsibility of life. If you want to really simplify this idea of grace, it's God's way of helping us to be holy. By ourselves, we can't do what is required to get to heaven and to participate in God's life. But he gives us grace to help us do that. What is the relationship between grace and human freedom? Grace precedes, prepares, and elicits our free response. It responds to the deep yearnings of human freedom, calls for its cooperation, and leads freedom toward its perfection. In other words, grace is given to us as an aid, but we don't have to cooperate with that grace. We don't have to respond to the grace that the Lord gives us. I've used the analogy before of somebody giving you a gift card to a restaurant. Well, you've got to physically get in the car or walk over to the restaurant and redeem the gift card before you can get food. It just doesn't happen automatically. The fact that we have a gift card to a restaurant doesn't necessarily make it possible for us to obtain the food that we need. We've got to use the gift card. Now, how about merit? We hear sometimes the concept of merit. What is merit? In general, merit refers to the right to recompense for a good deed. With regard to God, we of ourselves are not able to merit anything, having received everything freely from him. However, God gives us the possibility of acquiring merit through union with the love of Christ, who is the source of our merits before God. The merits for good works, therefore, must be attributed in the first place to the grace of God, and then to the free will of man. I want to make sure that I don't sound like we are buying our way into heaven. That's not what we believe. But what we do believe as Catholic Christians is this. God gives us the grace to do good things. We can freely respond to the grace that he gives us. Do good things in life. Love God, love our neighbor. Many different ways we can do that. And as a result, we receive merit. Merit is what gets us to heaven. Now, I really don't like to over explain this or make it so complex or scientific that you lose sight of what's going on. But it's an important concept to understand. But just know that merit is given to us by the Lord as a reward for the good deeds that we do. And we get merit, eventually we get to heaven from that merit. But it's still a gift. It is a gift given to us by the Lord. Now, let's take a look. What are the goods we can merit? Moved by the Holy Spirit, we can merit for ourselves and for others the graces needed for our sanctification and for the attainment of eternal life. Even temporal goods suitable for us can be merited in accordance with the plan of God. No one, however, can merit the initial grace, which is at the origin of conversion and justification. So initially, all of us receive the grace. You know, a lot of things that God gives to us in life, we receive because we ask for them or because we do something. You know, something is required on our part. But the initial grace that we receive, the initial grace of conversion or justification, is a gift given by God. There's nothing we can do to make that call or that gift happen. Are all called to Christian holiness? All of the faithful are called to Christian holiness. This is the fullness of Christian life and the perfection of charity, and is brought about by intimate union with Christ and in Him with the Most Holy Trinity. The path to holiness for a Christian goes by way of the cross and will come to its fulfillment in the final resurrection of the just, in which God will be all in all. How does the church nourish the moral life of a Christian? The church is the community in which the Christian receives the Word of God, the teachings of the law of Christ, and the grace of the sacraments. Christians are united to the Eucharistic sacrifice of Christ in such a way that their moral life is an act of spiritual worship, and they learn the example of holiness from the Virgin Mary and the lives of the saints. Why does the magisterium of the church act in the field of morality? It is the duty of the magisterium of the church to preach the faith that is to be believed and put into practice in life. This duty extends even to the specific precepts of the natural law, because their observance is necessary for salvation. In other words, what the church does is help us by instructing us in the way that we need to act in order to get to heaven. What purpose do the precepts of the church have? The five precepts of the church are meant to guarantee for the faithful the indispensable minimum in the spirit of prayer, the sacramental life, moral commitment, and growth in love of God and neighbor. You may have heard of the precepts of the church. Let's talk about them. And I do want to say this. This was mentioned in that previous question. These are the bare minimum. You need to do much more than this in order to get to heaven. Let's talk about this. Precepts of the church. There are five of them. One, attend Mass on Sundays and other holy days of obligation, and to refrain from work and activities which could impede the sanctification of those days. Number two, to confess one's sins, receiving the sacrament of reconciliation at least once each year. Number three, to receive the sacrament of the Eucharist at least during the Easter season. Number four, to abstain from eating meat and to observe the days of fasting established by the church. And five, to help to provide for the material needs of the church, each according to his own ability. Now again, that's the bare minimum. You don't want to just adhere to these five precepts of the church and that's all you do. Well, I go to church on Sunday and I put my envelope in and I don't eat meat on Fridays during Lent, therefore it's automatic that I will go to heaven. No, that's not the way it works. Again, that is the absolute minimum. If you don't do those things, you're going to be in serious trouble, but it doesn't mean that that is all you need to do. Unfortunately, for many years, I went through the motions, and that's all I did. But you're never going to get to know the Lord that way, and honestly, you're going to have a hard time getting to heaven just by doing that without doing anything else. Final question, why is the Christian moral life indispensable for the proclamation of the gospel? Because their lives are conformed to the Lord Jesus, Christians draw others to faith in the true God, build up the church, inform the world with the spirit of the gospel, and hasten the coming of the kingdom of God. Really good stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's good to learn these things because these are questions that many of us have. This concept of merit, concept of grace, frequently I'm sure you've wondered about what it is. You're going to get questions about it. It's good to know that. That's why I like to spend the time doing that. And again, we're going to put this feature as well as all of our regular features on hold for the duration of the Advent season beginning in Monday so that we can launch into the Advent retreat and get you ready to welcome the Lord more deeply into your life. Okay, sound good? Now remember, if you have questions, my email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. If you are buying Christmas gifts, please keep in mind that if you go to followingthetruth.com, go to the Donate tab, you'll see links for my Amazon store as well as Mystic Monk Coffee. If you go to either one of those links and make purchases, you will help me financially, and I'd really appreciate that. You can also donate to my work while you're there. Thank you for all your support. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow night. Have a wonderful night, and God bless you.